now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to one of the biggest LGBT radio shows in the UK.
Welcome to Shout Out.
I'm Andy Thomas.
And I'm Mitch McMorrow.
Today we're following on from our men's health show as we catch up with a listener of the show called Chris.
And John's been finding out just how good an actor Patrick Stewart is as he reports from Queer Vision Film Festival.
All coming today, right here on Shout Out. Everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
That was really good.
You like that?
I wrote that beginning bit. I thought it was going to be a real tongue twister when I read it back. And well, no, I think we did all right with that.
You're mixing it up there, Andy. You know, getting people on their toes.
So, and hello, Lucy.
Hiya.
How are you?
Very well, thank you.
So now, before we start, today's rather a special day for me.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm going to be very naughty and take advantage of the fact that I'm the main presenter on Shout Out, because I would like to say a very happy 6th anniversary to my gorgeous hubby, Carl.
I'm going. Six years. That's brilliant.
365 days until I'll be married.
Oh my goodness! Wow, that's fantastic. Mm. And you know, 6 years in the
gay years. That's like 300 and something.
That's about 360. Yes, definitely.
If it was a lesbian relationship, it would include at least 3 breakups during that time.
And maybe several cats.
I was going to say, how many cats, how many pairs of dungarees? Yes.
Well, you know, we have shifted.
Just one pair of dungarees. They're hard wearing.
You only get through one in your lifetime.
Honestly.
I mean, maybe some of the lesbians listening could call in and say how many dungarees they've got through in their lifetime so far.
Dungarees and clogs, please.
Yeah, well, Crocs now.
Oh, be honest, do either of you own a pair of dungarees?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Do you? Is that just for like your act with the short and girlies? Or is that
it's not really for the short and girlies. It's for usually painting and decorating.
Oh, right. Oh, okay, fair enough.
Does it go with a lovely tool belt if you're painting and decorating?
I'm not allowed to have the tool belt because I get in trouble with tools. My partner has the tools because she's more responsible than me.
Right, it sounds like you've been told in no uncertain terms.
Get away from the spanners!
Hello, Jane, if you're listening. That's so funny.
I'll make her listen.
Am I allowed to ask, how long have you been with your respective other halves?
11 years.
Wow.
Me and Jane have been together.
Is it the
years.
Opposite way round if you're a lesbian? If you're gay and it's like 300 for six, is it like...
No. It's probably twice as many.
Oh, is it?
For lesbians.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, easily.
It's not like 11 years is no, like 12 months.
I would
or
say
something.
That could well even be like over 1,000 years.
There has to be a couple of mutual friends in there as well, generally. Or people
actually...
who know someone who knows someone.
You're 4 steps away from Madonna, usually, if you're a lesbian.
Oh, right.
Apparently. Yes.
We've been very naughty, actually. We are stereotyping just a little bit here. We are taking
well,
the
Well, we're lesbians and we're satiring ourselves, aren't we?
Lucy? I didn't have stereotypes. I wouldn't know how to live my life.
Yes.
They're guidance for me.
How would you identify yourself with other lesbians?
What would I do? Too hard.
So, well, ironically, it is a show actually we have talked about doing is covering the stereotypes because they do come from somewhere.
Yeah, they
and
do.
There are genuine people who are LGBT who fit those stereotypes. And I know some and they're very proud to.
Well, and a lot of it's around identity as well and presentation and all the rest of that.
Visibility, I think, is one of the real key things because in a world where we've lived before quite hidden, it was really important to have visibility and to recognise somebody of a similar ilk or preference or whatever and doing that you adopt certain items of clothing perhaps or haircuts or however it take whatever
I do
it takes.
Remember when I first met you, every time I broadcast with you, your hair changed colour.
Yes, it did. Yes. I had a phase, you know, well, long term phase. You know. I might be going into another one soon.
Oh.
Because I'm going to get my hair cut soon.
Is that a lesbian thing or just a Bristol thing?
Or a midlife crisis thing.
Midlife crisis, probably. Yeah. Yes.
I don't know what I'm going to do for my midlife crisis.
Well, you could get some tracks in your hair.
I don't have hair. What
get
do you
a
want
swoosh.
About?
Well, you've got enough to actually paint a rainbow on your head.
Yes, true.
It is true.
Just scream gay to everyone.
And your beard could be a rainbow beard.
Grow a big bushy beard.
Oh, I think
please.
You should, Andy. Definitely.
Awesome.
I can hear Carl at home now go, yes, make you grow a beard. Yes, make you grow a beard. Because he loves it when I grow my beard out.
Oh,
I only do it in the winter. So I tend to shave it off in the summer because it's hot.
Well, you need to get in there quickly because apparently, you know, cultural commentators seem to think we've reached peak beard.
Peak beard.
Because it's all yesterday's news now.
Oh, we've peaked the beards, have we?
Pretty much. Peak beard.
No, because when we went down to the horseplay recently over the Pride Week events, there was a Laura beard.
Oh, was there?
Yeah. There was.
You can't fling a flat white at an artisanal coffee shop without hitting a beard.
No, you can't. And also... I had a bit of beard envy from that.
Oh, did you?
I did, yes.
I know lots of women take part in Movember and support like their hubbies or their friends, etc. by sticking them on.
Yes.
Which is just hilarious.
Yes, if you can't grow them, then sticking them on is just as good, actually, and effective.
Anyway, should we move on and get some events?
What a wide range of topics we have.
Welcome to Shout Out. So it's our pick of the week, or out shout as we call it, with Lucy this week. What events are we covering then, Lucy?
Hello, Zoo Pride.
Oh yeah, the follow on from Main Pride.
Yeah, pretty much, but this time in a zoo.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm being slightly flippant.
Well, it was sort of like a zoo at Pride as well. It was quite fun, though.
Well, in some places
it was the extension of the dog show, which just carried on into the main Pride event, and all the dogs had lovely rainbow or pink collars.
I know, and I saw some very tall butterflies. Did you see those as well?
No.
I saw a few bears.
You saw unicorns.
I saw unicorns and butterflies on stilts.
I saw quite a few bears.
Yes, I did as well.
Oh, that reminds me. How's it? How do they go?
So they just go.
Who was that?
How do they go, Mitch?
So they just go.
What did I do there?
I was playing around with you last week. We broadcast your hello, welcome to Prides, and there was a clip in there that just made me laugh, so I recorded it there.
Oh, thanks. So they just go.
anyway,
Zoo Pride.
Sorry, back to Zoo Pride. Yes,
Zoo Pride.
Which taking place at Bristol Zoo, isn't it?
Bristol Zoo, Saturday the 1st of August. It is a family focused day celebrating the LGBT community and diverse family dynamics and alternative family situations.
Cool, we like that.
Yeah, so
it was lovely to see lots of different kinds of families at Pride, wasn't it? Because it
was
the normal
good.
Kind of like mum and dad situation, but I did see there were lots of lesbian couples with kids and lots of gay couples as well, which is quite cool.
Yeah, it's important to celebrate alternative families, of course.
So Saturday the 1st of August at Bristol Zoo. Entry is free with the purchase of a zoo entry ticket.
Cool.
So it's an added bonus, as it were. Lots of great family activities going on throughout the day, including kite making, a circus workshop, which I thought was pretty exciting. Hopefully there'll be a bit of tightrope walking.
I was going to say, is that tightrope walking and kind of like, you know, swinging on the trapeze and stuff like that?
You'll have to find out. They wouldn't actually divulge the details.
Oh, wouldn't they help?
No, yeah. So probably no actual contortionism because I don't think you're allowed
I'm
to
I'm a bit
do
old
that.
For that.
You know, be a little, put your back out. That would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? Lots of face painting, and then also there's going to be a trail around the zoo where they're going to be doing lots of talks, talking about how different... family dynamics can play out in nature. So bring it into the natural world and creating that link like that as well.
So we might talk about the penguins that have adopted, the two male penguins that adopted an egg.
They did.
Because they were just a real together couple.
Yeah,
yeah. Long term.
Wasn't it in the Russian
long-term.
Zoo?
Berlin Zoo.
Oh, was it Berlin Zoo? Okay.
Where else would it be?
Delightful.
I mean, it's a well-known fact, isn't it? You get homosexuality in almost every species on the earth and homophobia in one.
Absolutely.
Yes. That's a really good point, Andy.
Yeah, and then, you know, and other things as well, not necessarily, you know, for example, seahorses, the male seahorse carrying young, so not
Which
just around
really sweet.
Sexuality.
Have you seen
but
them? They're
no.
gorgeous little animals.
They do look good.
They look like unicorns.
Yeah, they're tiny, aren't they? And they
so gay.
The fins go really...
So they just go...
He's got to do that every time I open my mouth now.
Yeah.
That must have been an error. because I wouldn't make a raspberry like that all the time.
It actually broadcast. You listened to last week's show. I think you were talking to a little kid about unicorns and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Or seahorses, as we were talking about. Sorry, Lucy, am
gay
I completely
seahorses.
Throwing you off?
Anyway, yeah, gay seahorses.
Yeah, I suppose you do get gay seahorses.
Dolphins.
They're so gay. They are the gayest.
Yeah, they often stimulate each other, don't they?
Yeah, they're pretty highly sexed. Yeah, they're really into it. Not that I'm drawing parallels. Oh, I'm going to stop. I'm just going to step away from this dangerous
Let's move on. What else is on?
That's on all day. All the activities going on all day. But some of them start, they're best to go between 11 and 2 because that's when some of the more specific activities are happening.
And it's all free, which is, well, if you free pay for an entrance to the zoo. Cool. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Cool.
I can keep going.
No. We're on time.
Oh, right. Okay.
So
if you were inspired by Queer Vision at Pride a couple of weeks ago and you thought, where can I get a regular fix of LGBT themed film programming, you're in luck if you live in Exeter. So those of you who live in Exeter, please get involved with Queer Films Exeter. They're a bi-monthly they're a bi-monthly meetup where they watch LGBT themed interest films.
It's going to be one of those shows.
She's like double entendre Lucy, isn't she, today?
Yeah. I can't help it. They're run by a lovely guy called Paul. At the moment, they meet up in a sort of private location, so you need to get onto their mailing list or their Facebook page, Queer Films Exeter, or email queerfilms@yahoo.co.uk, and you'll find out when the next meetup is, and you can watch the films. But they're also branching out into more sort of community-based events and parties and stuff like that. So cool. If you're in Exeter and you like your LGBT film fix, head on down.
Cool. Great. Brilliant. Thank you, Lucy.
No problem.
Hi, I'm Heather Small, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Come and Guess It by John Newman. I like that song.
Yeah.
That's quite cool.
Come and Get It.
I got a really nice one coming up at the end of the show for you by The Score, which is really good. Do you like The Score?
Yeah, I do actually. There's a couple of them songs I've liked before.
Oh, you might recognise it. It's been used in some adverts recently. Mm. That's a little clue for you. Okay. Anyway, news team are here, so let's find out what's going on in the world.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 23rd of July.
Once again, fierceness comes to television as a new reality TV programme charts the lives of a group of drag artists in the capital. Drag Queens of London started on Monday night on the UK network True TV, which broadcasts on Channel 68 on Freeview plus other platforms. The reality series will be aired every Monday at 10 p.m. with repeats throughout the week.
A judge from the hit TV show RuPaul's Drag Race has hit out at a decision to ban drag queens from performing at a Pride event in Scotland. Free Pride Glasgow, which was set up by more left-wing-leaning activists as an alternative to the main Pride event, made the decision to bar drag performers. The group behind the Free Pride event claimed that transgender people attending Pride might be made to feel uncomfortable by drag queens performing. Bloggers online also alleged that the bar was a concession to certain parts of the feminist movement who have always been critical of drag. Michelle Visage from the RuPaul programme responded by pointing out that drag queens had been a backbone of the gay pride movement, and she alleged that the organisers of the event did not understand their LGBT history.
Gay financial services expert Ivan Masso, whose company was one of the first to offer LGBT people specialised financial advice in the 1990s, is now seeking to become the Conservative Party's candidate for Mayor of London. Masso was grilled by Pink News journalists in the week on the current state of the capital's gay scene. Masso says that he wants to spend time living with ordinary Londoners in order to better understand what the public wants from its next mayor. pop along to our website for a link to Masso's interview where you can find out more about his ideas for London.
Campaigners are hopeful that progress on LGBT rights could speed up across Europe following a historic ruling from the European Court of Human Rights. In a historic ruling that stemmed from an Italian rights case, the ECHR ruled that not recognising same-sex couples is a breach of their human rights. Now, whilst it currently only applies to Italy, campaigners believe that the case has precedent that could lead to all 47 member countries granting equal rights to same-sex couples and push their governments into speeding up reforms.
The upcoming movie, based on the famous 1969 Stonewall riots in New York City, has been given a release date. Stonewall, which will tell a story of the birth of modern gay rights movement, is scheduled for release on September the 25th in the US. The drama will focus on the story of homeless Danny Winters, a fictional character caught up in the riots, who experiences a political awakening after making his way to New York and being introduced in the infamous Stonewall Inn, where, with the toss of a single brick, a riot ensues, and a crusade for equality is born. However, campaigners in more recent years have pointed out that the pivotal moment occupied by the Stonewall event in June 1969 is partly mythological, and that a simmering gay rights movement had been developing since the 1950s. Nevertheless, we look forward to seeing a new take on the Stonewall incident in our cinemas.
For these news stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.org.uk.
For Shoutout News, this has been Natalie.
And Terry Starr.
And can I just point out that they have now dropped the ban on allowing drag acts?
Yes, but only if they're transgender, as I understand.
Yes.
Yes. So it still stands on gay men. Yes. So there's going to be a lot of discussion about that in coming weeks.
It seems to have caused quite a stir, that one.
The gay Twitter sphere has been electric.
Yeah. I don't see how a transgender one could be a drag act.
It does seem a contradiction in terms, Natalie. I think you're right. It does to some people, yeah.
Because of the performance and the parody, isn't it? You know, that's the main thing about drag it's a parody of
anyone who knows their history of Stonewall will know how much.
Well, Michelle Visage pointed out that it was in actual fact a largely drag review bar at the Stonewall Inn in 1969 that erupted in the riots.
Yeah, and Storm, one of the bouncers, was a drag. You know, she was a very butch drag lesbian king, drag king.
So
there was a lot
interesting
going on.
So, well, you know, thank you, Annie. Shout out. I'm sure the new team will keep you informed as the weeks go on. But for now, thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Shout out news,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Hello, I'm Dolly Rocket. A big shout out to Shout Out. Thank you.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
So they just go,
the Shout Out podcast.
Oh, you might remember that one.
Yes.
Do you remember who the original was by?
Oh, was it Tatiana?
No. No, Robin S.
Robin S.
It was called Show Me Love. It was a hit, I think, in the 90s.
It must have been in the 90s because that's...
But it's interesting.
I like that tune.
Yeah, it's a very kind of mellow version of it, isn't it? That's by Sam Feld.
Yeah, it's almost
the voice,
you know,
is Kimberly Ann.
Really early morning after party, everyone's chilling out.
Now, I can't remember if I was broadcasting with you or not when we did Men's Health Week. I have a funny feeling. No, it was Matthew that broadcast with me because it was Men's Health Week. But you must remember the show. We were talking all about men's health and how men are a bit rubbish at doing things like going to the doctors and
checking things.
Yeah, well, unbeknown to us, one of our listeners, who's actually a very good friend of mine, a guy called Chris, heard the show and really wanted to make something well known that had happened to him.
And
we spoke to him, and it was fascinating. So I had no idea that this had happened to him until he messaged us. But I went up and had a word with him. Have a listen to this.
You may remember a few weeks ago we did coverage of, it was Men's Health Awareness Week, wasn't it? I'm sat with Chris, who really enjoyed the show to the point where you actually wrote in to tell us, which was very, very nice of you. But there was a reason why you wrote in, wasn't there?
Yes, I had testicular cancer in 2010, and I just like to share with people about testicular cancer, just a bit more of awareness, really.
The big thing you picked up on the show was the fact that we did point out the fact that men are generally a bit rubbish at checking ourselves over and going and talking to a doctor and the like, and that was one of the things that you were really hot on and probably was one of the things that made your experience a lot better than it could have been, should we say.
Yes, all the doctors I worked with, the GP was female, she was fantastic, all very sensitive about checking in things. It's mainly through Cheltenham Oncology, who's a centre of excellence, really, and it was dealt with very, very quickly.
Take me back, how on earth did you discover you had cancer in the first place? Were you regularly checking yourself?
I'd seen about checking your testicles to make sure, you know, you haven't got any lumps and bumps. But I come out of the shower, and it's probably the best time to do it is after a bath or a shower. And I just ran my sort of forefinger and thumb over the testicle, and it felt like grit. Little tiny pinpricks.
Actually, that's not what I would have imagined. I would have thought cancer, it would be a big lump. It was really that small, was it?
Yeah, I think because from what I understand, testicular cancer is the best one to get for men if you get it early, because you can deal with it, but also can be one of the worst ones if you don't action it very, very quickly, because it is quite an aggressive cancer. And my partner and I, we both checked it. He found the lumps there. The next day, we checked it again, and we couldn't find the lumps. We thought, oh, I'm not sure about that. But then the day after, we checked it again, and the lumps were there. The testicle moves around, so you've got to check both sides of the testicle, really. And from there, we went, right, now, even if it's a lump that's not cancerous, you need to get into the GP. And she was amazing.
So at this point, you just got grit. I'm assuming you didn't automatically think cancer. I mean, it could have been something like a cyst or something. Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It could have been a lump that's not going to go anywhere, but best get it checked out. Yeah. Better to know that something's it's right or wrong.
Always a good advice, go see your GP or something.
Absolutely. If you think whatever it is, get in there. That's what their job is to do.
I assume the GP then had a feel and...
Yeah. And she said... She had a feel as well, and she could feel the lumps there. And there can be a 6, 4, or 2 week referral.
I'm guessing she didn't at that point turn around and say, yes, you've got cancer.
No, she was very, very good. She said, I can't say you have, but you know, it's something that needs to be looked at in more depth. So she sent for a 2 week referral, and I think within a week, I'd had a letter to say, you know, come in and come see a consultant. So I went in to see the consultant, and somebody else had a feel of my testicles, and he sent me off to go and get a blood test and then to go and get an ultrasound, like with your mum's babies in the womb, to see if we could see any marks or things actually on the testicle. You went straight to the front of the queue for the blood tests, straight in front of the queue for the ultrasound. And,
well, I'm assuming that's because if, as it did in your case, it turns out to be cancer, treating it quicker is better.
Absolutely. And I think also it was about anxiousness and people being scared, because once you start saying the big C, people's minds start working. So they wanted to get it yes or no very, very quickly. So we ended up with, you have a big screen with like a PowerPoint projector, and you've got your testicle the size of a 4 foot wide egg on the screen, which is quite interesting, seeing your own testicle that big. And they, you know, they could see it, nothing, everything was all right on the one of them, and then went to the other one and it was like, oh. And you could see, I probably say about 4 or 5 black circles on my right testicle. And again, she couldn't tell me whether it definitely was, because she's not a consultant, but sent straight back to the consultant, and he said, I do believe you have got it. The simplest way to deal with it is to have it removed. So that was quite a bit of a shock, really.
That must be quite a scary experience. I mean, it doesn't sound like a very pleasant thing to have going through your mind. Oh my gosh, I'm a bloke, and you know, I'm going to lose my testicle.
People think it's the man thing or whatever. But in most cases, when you've been given certain types of news, you can go into shock. Denial, you know, that it's not, it can't be there. And I went straight back to work, And I was in with my manager explaining to her what was going on. I might need some time off. And she said, what are you doing here? You know, go home. So, well, I need to have something to keep my mind occupied. And then I got a phone call, you know, that afternoon, get in next week for the operation. So,
that's brilliant, because that is really quick from...
Yeah, I think it's must have been like between 2 and 3 weeks of going in, checking myself, GP, consultant, and then into operation. And it was, I think it was supposed to be, it's just a day case. You go in, it gets done, and then you're out you go.
So what happens after that? Do you have to have check-ups to make sure it hasn't come back and all that
kind of
stuff?
Yeah, well, for me, if testicular cancer bomb bursts from there, it can go to your lymph nodes in your stomach.
Bomb burst.
So, ex-army sort of thing. The cancer gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and then bits break off, and then the little bits then float around, find somewhere, and then they multiply until it breaks off. And that's when sometimes people get cancer everywhere.
I was going to say, because you said you found a Facebook group with...
Yeah, I can give you the details for that. And when you listen to some of the stories of the guys there, you know, they didn't check earlier enough or were embarrassed to go see doctors. And they've had massive operations and chemotherapy to cure their cancer. Like I said,
Because
it had spread, and they didn't catch it early enough. So I had radiotherapy. I've got 3 tattoo dots around on my stomach area, so that they every time you go in, the lines and the positioning is spot on, so they focus on the lymph nodes. But that was only just in case it'd gone anywhere else. Since then, I've had 3 monthly visits, assessments for reviews for a couple of years, and now I'm in my 4th year of remission. Hopefully October, they've said that if I'm all clear, that I'll have the same chance of getting testicular cancer as anybody. So it was, you know, near enough, yeah, cured.
Brilliant news. Can I ask you, for a lot of men, especially, I mean, obviously we're an LGBT show, but yeah, there are, yeah, this isn't an LGBT thing, this is thing. It can happen to anyone, and like you said, it is kind of what a lot of blokes would say is their manhood and the like, and yeah, the sort of losing, yeah, one. Okay, if you've got cancer, it's the best thing to do,
yeah,
but it can be a little bit embarrassing than having one. Other options, can you have like a prosthetic?
You can have a prosthetic testicle put in, and it can be the same weight and size as the one that was taken out. It is seen as more of a cosmetic surgery, so all surgeries have their own risks. And with me, I've got problems with nerves in my knees, so it means that any operation below the waist could make the legs worse. So I had to weigh that up, whether is it actually worth it. And you know, my partner's been very sort of honest and open, and it's not an issue for him. You can, when you look down on it, you know, to being honest, it does look different. But then again, when I see people who've not checked and it's been a lot of treatment, that actually, it's totally worth it, definitely.
Still the age-old advice, check regularly, and if you're...
Absolutely. I think it's, you could do it weekly, fortnightly. You know, again, it's your forefinger and thumbs, roll them around gently after a bath, after a shower. And if you do check something, it might just be one of the tubes has got a cyst on it or inflamed. You never know, but it's far better to go in and get it checked out by the GP, man or woman, and definitely get it checked out.
Good and bear the embarrassment for the sake of your own health.
Yeah, and doctors have seen far worse, all right, large or small. So definitely get it checked out.
Listen, it's been lovely to talk to you about it. It sounds like it was quite a scary time, but
yeah,
four years later, you're good and recovered, and hopefully it won't be coming back.
Absolutely.
And hopefully someone listening to this will be checking themselves later on and caught something early and not be having problems later on, which would be wonderful.
Absolutely. And if it does make people think about it and talk about it, then that'd be fab. Really would be good.
And a huge thank you to Chris for that as well, because it's not easy to talk about the subject of cancer, let alone when it's in your private parts as well.
So just keep checking, folks.
Keep checking, and if you are worried, go see your GP, because they're the best people that can help you.
That's what they're there for.
Right, you're listening to Shout Out. We're going to change subjects and talk about Patrick Swayze in a minute, I believe, aren't we? So we'll be back in a minute.
Patrick Swayze.
Patrick Stewart.
I corrected him.
Yeah, no, I prefer Patrick Stewart, to be honest. So, yes. All right, we'll be back in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Avicii's new one. That's called Waiting for Love. I'm sorry, I'm an Avicii fan.
You are, aren't you, Andy?
I love him.
Yes. Yeah, well, they're very good for the dance floor, aren't they?
Dance stuff, yeah.
Yeah, really good for the dance floor.
Yeah. I say that, I can't remember the last time I went dancing.
did you go dancing after Pride, in the after parties?
No, well, I went up to the Bear Bar, and almost everyone was in the road rather than in the Bear Bar. Until it rained, actually, which was really funny, because there were so many people who didn't fit, and the heavens opened up, and we all charged inside, and no one could get in because it was too small.
Yeah, I love it, though, that whole let's take over the gay village in Old Market.
It was lovely. So I would imagine the other side of town was really, really busy, down at the O2 as well.
Yeah, it was. Really busy, because you also had...
did they sell out? Do we know?
Yeah, I think they sold out, and there was also Hush going on as well, opposite the Queen Shilling.
Yes, and the Queen Shilling itself.
And the Queen Shilling itself. So we were all, you know, busy, busy, busy wandering around in the locality.
I didn't last long. After broadcasting all day, I was kind of a bit pooped by the time I'd had a couple of beers.
Well, we thought we'd only stay for a little while and ended up leaving at 3 o'clock in the morning. So.
Oh, good Lord, you party animals. Anyway, now, it wasn't Patrick Swayze. I don't know why I said
so
Patrick
funny.
Swayze.
So funny.
It's just Patrick
Stewart.
So they just go...
Yeah, we'll just use that when we get a... get a blooper. That will be our blooper jingle, everybody, from now on.
You know about this, don't you? It's part of the film festival, I think, isn't
it? Yeah, it's part of the Queer Vision Film Festival, and our youth correspondent John Dior went along to find out about one of the films.
You've choreographed operas at almost every major theatre in the world.
This is true.
Now you're teaching at America's most prestigious dance school.
Also true.
So, I guess the first thing I'd like to know is why, how, and where you started teaching.
How long is the tape?
The Queer Vision Film Festival is a festival held at the Watershed in preparation for Bristol Pride. The film that I just saw is Match, which has Professor X Patrick Stewart in it. I really liked the film, even though the locations were limited because it's an adaptation of a stage play. The acting was actually really good in it, and Patrick Stewart's one-liners literally had me on the floor, like, laughing. It was actually, like, so funny. It isn't too cheesy or sentimental. I liked it.
Do you mind telling me what you thought about the film?
Fantastic. I really enjoyed it. Brilliant acting, as always, by Patrick Stewart.
A fantastic movie. Engrossed for the last however many hours. I really couldn't tell you. Really good.
Would you recommend people to see it?
Oh, definitely. I think even you don't necessarily need to be gay or anything like that. It's just a fantastic film for everybody.
Can only concur on that one. It's just awesome seeing three really good actors. Really insightful and really inspirational.
Oh, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Patrick Stewart was brilliant. I thought there was really some really nice poignant moments in the film as well, and just all the relationships in it were really, just really interesting to watch, and kind of quite emotional, quite funny, and very kind of like true to life. Yeah, it's great.
Would you recommend other people to see it?
Yeah, everyone should go and see it. It's fantastic. Brilliant.
Also, do you think LGBT film festivals are important, or do you think that we should be showing LGBT films not just in festivals, but all around?
Yeah, I think it'd be nice if like, there were always like LGBT films showing throughout the year, not just in sort of one festival. It's nice that we got that, but it would be nice if it was, you know, more prevalent to have more LGBT films all the time. What Queer Vision is doing is brilliant, you know. I think we should have more of it, definitely.
I'm speaking with Jane, the organiser of the Queer Vision event, and can you, like, give me a little insight on what made you choose Match as a film for the film festival?
Sure. The reason why I chose it really was because of the brilliance of the script. It cracked along at a really great pace. For a film that doesn't have many locations for filming, it grips you and holds you for the entire duration of the film, and it just really stood out among the other films. And also I thought the performance from the actors were great, and particularly Patrick Stewart, to see him in a very, very different role than we've seen in some of his kind of sci-fi serials. Films and series. So yeah, mainly it was the acting and the quality of the script.
With Queer Vision, do you plan on keeping this going after Pride as a film festival?
Since launching it, the film festival as Queer Vision, the idea was to actually run streams throughout the year, so we will be doing other events outside of Pride Week for sure. Yes.
Thank you.
You are very different from anyone I have ever met.
I love my life. I regret my life. The lines eventually blur, and it's just my life.
And you'll be able to find out a lot more about the film Match in our next edition of Shout Out After Dark, which is coming in August.
My name's Twister Brio, and you're listening to Shout Out Radio.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's a score, and Oh My Love.
It's
being used
really
in an advert on TV at the moment, but it's definitely my favourite song at the moment.
That's great.
It's
I
cool,
like that.
Isn't it?
How catchy.
So, do you like that one, John?
Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Need to make me feel blessed. Hello, John. Hello, Terry. And hello, Lucy. And hello, Mary in the back.
Hello. You're
just about here. I just want to sit down.
Wanted to ask you about Darren's new quest, because we spoke to him earlier when we were talking about Zoo Pride, didn't we? And I believe he's launching a new anti-hate campaign.
Yes.
Do you know more about it? Yeah. I don't know that much.
I did speak to him earlier on, and what he's saying
is... I think we all spoke to him earlier
on. Yes. Sorry, Darren.
I didn't speak to him, though.
You missed out there.
I missed out.
Hi, Darren.
You didn't speak to me, but... Yes. Hi, anyway.
What's happened was the Crime Commissioning, he said that there's a hate crime launch initiative because they've got funding from the Crime Commissioning
Is this specific to LGBT type?
Yes, it's a call out for people to come and talk to them about all their experiences around homophobic, transphobic or biphobic hate crime. And the initiative is then to have some kind of memorial marking the incidences in the spaces that they happened.
Oh, right.
So almost like an arts trail, incident trail project.
I think that's a really, really good idea, because I know there's a sort of generally received idea that this kind of stuff doesn't happen anymore and that there is no hate crime against trans, bi or gay people. And I think, maybe getting this visibility out would be really, really good.
Mm.
Yeah, you can get hold of them.
I mean, has anyone around here recently experienced any kind of homophobia or trans? We haven't got any of the trans people in, but has anyone? John, you're the youngest of us. Do you ever experience anyone being homophobic to you these days? Or?
Yeah, actually, I do. But like, when it does happen, like, I either like shut off, or it's like, for example, a few months ago, I got harassed on the street. I didn't let that affect me though, carried on walking, you know, and stayed cool, calm, collected. But yeah, it does still happen, definitely. I have friends who've been beaten and stuff, and
it does still. And you dressed up the other week, didn't you, for the Rocky Horror?
Yeah, I did.
And did you experience any negativity after that?
No, actually, I didn't.
It's weird,
really,
isn't it?
Nice.
I mean, Rocky Horror is kind of really well accepted, and you just seem to get away with it.
People were there was a lot of gender variant.
Walk through
dress.
I mean, I still wouldn't walk through walk through the streets holding my other.
Well, did you see
the
Russian YouTube channel who did it?
Yes.
And they had paid two actors to walk through Moscow. The actors weren't They were both straight.
Yes. They got loads of vile abuse from it. But interestingly, there was a newspaper. I think we mentioned this last week on the show. Interestingly, there was a newspaper somewhere up north, I think it was, that recreated the same thing here in the UK. And although it wasn't to the same level, they still got loads of homophobic abuse shouted at them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And all they were was two straight guys holding hands, doing exactly the same as the Russian people had done, which is interesting.
It's telling, isn't it? You know, we've come a long way in terms of rights and equality and things, but actually people's attitudes on the ground level, there's still a lot of education and still a lot of progress to be made there.
Well, there was an awful lot of stuff that went on Facebook around Pride, wasn't there, saying, why do my council taxes pay for Pride? They don't at all.
Yeah, it used to, but they cut it.
No, yes. I'm not sure the council. Well, I think they've done some funding, but nothing on the scale that they do with some of the other events.
No, they didn't. They didn't fund Bristol Pride. If you want to get involved with the hate crime and share your experiences, it's called hatecrime@bristolpride.co.uk. By the way,
the email address,
and they're really looking for volunteers to come forward. So please do. And consider anything you've heard, verbal. Just it could be just a passing comment, but they'd like to know how that affected you.
I think the official designation of a hate crime is if you perceive it to be motivated by hate, then certainly the police will register it as a hate crime, and that's true whether that's a racist incident or a homophobic incident or a transphobic incident, or if you're disabled. Incidentally, there's a good series of programmes coming up on BBC Three Television about disability.
Yes.
Right. And they're doing one on disability hate crime, and that's going to be very interesting to see what's the similarities that the disabled community face and what's the differences with hate crime. That's coming up soon.
Yeah, we need to put a stop to hate crime generally, I think, don't we?
Well, yeah, I mean, it does feel like it's just a non-stop kind of, you know, we're forever mentioning on the show that, you know, there's homophobia out there and, you know, it's okay to be gay and the like. As much as I don't want to stop broadcasting, I would love it to get to a point where there isn't a need for shows like Shout Out to be talking about it, because everything's, you know, hunky-dory out there. Whether it will ever happen, I very much doubt.
I think we've had enough around fighting for equality. We just want it to be equal.
That was nice about Pride. Yeah. You could just sit there and you could watch the acts and you could be hand in hand with your other half and, you know, chatting and having a giggle. And Pride was wonderful because I don't know what the statistics were, but you looked around and it looked 50-50 gay and straight. And,
massively.
Well, I should say LGBT and straight. You know, there was lots of straight people there holding hands and not batting an eyelid, that I was doing the same with my boyfriend, which was great. So.
It's one of the few safe events that we've got going on for us, and we just want to keep it going on. So,
yes.
And apparently there was one person shouting at the gates, shouting, "Give up your pride and be saved." And a friend of mine who is in actual fact a Christian, and he was also at Pride. He's actually a straight Christian, but he helped out at the stall I was on. He, confused him by saying, "Well, I already am saved." So,
yes.
So that confused the man, and I don't think one person counts as a counter protest.
That's not the guy that got arrested, is it?
That was somebody else. Yeah, the Evening Post reported that, or the Bristol Post reported that a young man had gotten very drunk and had been throwing abuse around at police officers.
Was he drunk? Right.
So I understand.
He'd been throwing just about every type of abuse.
Every type of abuse.
I think he just wanted to be arrested or something. But
it sounds like a bit of a death wish, doesn't it?
It is nice because I do remember in the first year, which I was kind of involved with some of the organisation, we were planning on having an area where people could protest. And to my knowledge, that doesn't happen anymore, unless anyone knows different.
No, I mean, this year I bumped into a work colleague completely apropos of nothing, and I just, why are you here? And we heard Pride was on and we thought we'd come down. And they had a great day, and they were apparently in the front for Heather Small. They thought it was amazing.
Oh, she was lovely, Heather Small.
They did really enjoy it.
You loved Bucks Fizz, didn't you?
Oh, I did like Bucks Fizz. They were really nice folk, actually, when they came on Shout Out afterwards, weren't they? And I insisted on interviewing.
I wonder who we'll have next year. I wonder if they know any of them yet.
Who knows?
What
did you say, Terry?
Watch this space. Listen in and we'll let you know.
Anyway, that's it for this week. A reminder, if you do have any concerns about lumps or bumps that you may find on yourself, do go to your doctor, because they really are the best person and it's well worth getting it checked out. So.
Yeah, and if you'd like to hear the interview again or download any other podcast, head to our website at shoutoutradio.org. UK.
Yeah, you got there.
Next week we're talking all about those songs that never quite make it to a volume of Now That's What I Call Music. Live from Seven, but for myself and the team, say bye bye everyone.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.